time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And as always, we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence. And as always, I trust we're thankful. Well, that's that cold water I drink or what? It seems like every when I start speaking, my voice wants to close down on me. I trust that we are all thankful for the privilege once again of assembling ourselves together in this place that's been long set aside to the devotion and worship of God our Savior. How wonderful Savior is He, and it's a wonderful privilege to be gathered together with hearts of like faith that we might share this blessing together. We are sorry to hear that Brother Terrell is having hemorrhages, I believe, in the colon, and he's in the Alamance Medical Center in Burlington. Already had some tests and is having more tomorrow. I believe it said he's already received 2 pints of blood. So we want to remember Brother Terrell. We've known Brother Terrell for as long as I've been speaking. He was one of the first people we met, used to go to Little Flock with him. And we've always valued his friendship and his fellowship. I've turned to number page 152, 379, Hungry, Fainting, Poor. Did you have one, brother? After we sing that, we're going to ask Brother Haynes, if he will, to lead us in prayer. And we certainly hope that you will be indicted with the spirit of prayer also. And you'll be blessed to pray for me, for the service, and for one another as we go to the Lord in prayer.
Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord, again.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank You, dear Lord, for that precious name, Jesus, the only name given among men that we might be saved. We thank You, dear Lord, You haven't dealt with us after our sins, nor watered us according to our iniquity, but according to Thine own loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank you, dear Lord, for that, and we thank you for your great love that you loved us with, that everlasting love, not according to our works, nor any good in us, but according to your own purpose and grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How we thank you, dear Lord, for that. We pray, dear Lord, for those that are sick and afflicted. Lord, we pray for Brother Terrell there in that hospital. If he can be pleasing unto you, dear Lord, we pray that I would touch his body and restore him back to a measure of health and strength again. We thank you, dear Lord, for this privilege of being here this morning. And we pray for the others, dear Lord, that are sick and afflicted in rest homes and hospitals and different places. Lord, thou knowest all about their condition. We know that you are able to touch their bodies and restore them back to vision, health, and strength again, if it be according to your will. Pray, Lord, thou would be near them, and thou would just comfort them and give them grace, Lord, to bear the affirmative that's laid upon them. Lord, we humbly pray your blessing again upon this service, and bless each one that's gathered here this morning. We pray, Lord, thou would be with Brother Draper as he come to preach the word of God. We pray that you would clear his voice up, and pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will be with him in a special way this morning. We pray that we might have a godly service here this day. Humbly pray that you'd forgive us, Lord, for our many sins. We know that we say many things and do many things we shouldn't do, and we ask that you forgive us. Lord, realize, Lord, if you'd mark iniquity, none of us would be able to stand in your presence. Now, let me pray you just go with us now through the remainder of this service. We're committed in thy hand, dear Lord, and may your will be done. These blessings we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate the prayer and desire continued interest in your prayers. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews is commonly referred to as a chapter of faith. Begins by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that substance or ground for which we hope is eternal life. We all have the sentence of death in our members. And Apostle Paul said that he saw a law operating in his members, the law of sin and death. And he went on to complain, he said, because of that law of sin and death, that when he would do good, evil was present. And the will to do was with him, but he couldn't find the manner and how to do it, so to speak. He said, when I would do good, evil is present, and that which I would not do, I do, and that which I would not do, that which I would do, I do not. And then his prayer was, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that's eternal life, and Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And he's the tree of life. We have the Holy Bible, Word of God, beginning in the garden with a tree, the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The book of Revelation we have in the new city, the new Jerusalem, has come down from God. In the midst of it is the tree of life. And of course, that tree of life is the Lamb of God himself. The only time in the Bible that Jesus referred to himself as Jesus Christ is in the 17th chapter of John. And he said that he was praying to the Father that to restore to him the glory he had with him before the world was, and that he had given eternal life to them that the Father had given him. And he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So Jesus Christ is the sent one. He's the promised one. He's the seed of the woman that was promised from the very beginning. And faith is the gift of God by which the Lord's children lay hold to that promise. And as the Apostle Paul says, lay hold on eternal life. And exhorting to the churches that he wrote, he uses that phrase to say, lay hold on eternal life. And of course, in reading and meditating, believing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we lay hold upon him. We feed upon him. We trust our soul's welfare into his hands. And so, God, who hath declared the end from the beginning, has from the beginning treasured up our life and all of our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. They have been in him and treasured up with him from all eternity. And if he lives, we live. As long as he lives, his children will live. And so that's why we have hope of eternal life, since he is, he doth inhabit eternity, and he left the glory world of that eternity that he lived in, and came into this time world that he created, and took on himself a human body known as Jesus. And now this same man, Jesus Christ, is life eternal. And since he is man, he is the mediator between God and man, and the only mediator, the only one that can mediate with God and with man. And so it behooves us then to learn all that we can about this God-man, this only man, as Brother Clyde said in his prayer, it's the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And into his hands all principalities and powers and dominions have been given into his hand. He's the governor of governors and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only true God. And he's our Savior, and we worship him. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And beloved, when you are motivated by the faith of God's elect, you will obtain a good report, because you will confess Jesus, you'll trust in him, and you'll elevate him with your life and with your thoughts and with your words and with your prayers. You'll think upon him, and you'll worship him, and you'll praise him for all that he's done for your soul. And so by faith God's children obtain a good report, and it is a report that's acceptable unto his God and our God and his Father and our Father. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he must believe, one must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We live in a world today where the noble and the elite of the world think it fashionable to deny God, or that there is a God, or that we came from God. Their boast and program is that we might find out from where we came. They want to go out into space and search the heavens and see if we can find out our beginning. I mean, this is their, what they proclaim. They want to know where we came from and where the human race is evolving to. What is our destiny? And in considering these scriptures, the word of God, the one from whom hath declared the end from the beginning. And how the apostle, I believe the psalmist, I believe he said the word, said that, speaking of God, said his word is perfect. And when we consider his words and it as a whole, his word, well, then we can see the perfection of his word and his work that's contained in the scriptures. It says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And I, maybe you get tired of me going back to Abel and to Cain, but the law of first beginnings is very important in the scriptures. And in the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, the seed plot of the human race, its beginning and its end is contained in there. And it was there that we find that through one man, the first man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Beloved, if the human race evolved from the lower forms of life up until man, where does Adam fit into that? Where does the word of God that says that Adam was the first man, and Eve was a mother of all living? There's just no harmony between the word of God and the theory of evolution. Though I realize that many Christians, many believers, try to harmonize the days, the first creation days, as long eons of periods to harmonize to a degree that evolution. But regardless of whether they are just 24-hour days or whether they are eons of time represented by days, when we come to him who was God that tabernacled in the flesh, when they ask him about divorce and putting away his wife, he said, we have not read that in the beginning he that made them, male and female. Now he's talking about Adam and Eve there. And he's the one that made them. All things that were made by the Word, the second person of the Trinity. And he knows what he was talking about. And he said, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning, both male and female, he said that to let a man leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife, and these two shall become one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So our Lord himself, when he was tabernacling here in the flesh, he went back to Adam and Eve. And he himself said that the righteous blood of Abel shall be required, and all the prophets slain down to this evil generation shall be required of this present evil generation. And he turned to them on one occasion when they were so adamantly condemning him and accused him of casting out devils by the power of devil, by the power of Beelzebub. And he taught them, and he said, a house divided cannot stand. If I cast out the devils by the power of devil, he said, how can his house stand? And if I cast them out by the power of Beelzebub, to whom do your scribes cast them out? And he went on and said many things unto them, but one thing he said that we're thinking of right now, he said, O generation of vipers. When we think of a viper, we go right back to the garden, don't we? To the serpent. And he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. On another occasion, he said, it was not what a man put in his mouth that defiled him, but it's what comes out of a man's mouth that defiled him. And his disciples was thinking about food that he eats, and he said, don't you understand? He says, out of the heart out of the mouth comes blasphemy and evil speaking and adulteries and murder and this sort of thing. And he said, that's what defiles a man. And as always, he took natural things to portray spiritual things. The kingdom of God is among is a spiritual kingdom, and it's in the realm of morals. It has to do with human beings that are moral beings that know good from evil. That's what brought it on, wasn't it? He said, "You should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," and so man is made in the image of God that separates him from rest of the animal kingdom, and that's where the issue is. The issue is about good and evil. It's about sin and righteousness. It's about death and life. And the wages of sin is death. And when Adam sinned, it brought on death. But the first man brought in death. But if death came by man, also righteousness has come by man. And so Jesus Christ, the righteous, has brought in righteousness. And that's what the issue is. That's what we're concerned about. And all of the natural creation by which we live and sustains these natural bodies, this body that is of the earthly, it just portrays things that are in the spiritual realm. And our wonderful Savior, time and time again, though he would do miracles with natural things, he would always teach that it was a spiritual lesson that he was teaching, or something that was going on in a spiritual realm that has to do with the responsibility and morality of man that's made in the image of God, who is accountable to him and shall give account of every idle word that shall ever be spoken. And he said, it shall be accounted for. And so his wonderful word teaches us. And so then in the very beginning, we get back to the vipers. He was talking to vipers. He was talking to his enemies. Now, he knew that. I couldn't look a man in the face and say that, regardless of what, how much he opposed me. But there was one who knew what was in man, and he could say that. And he said, ye generation of vipers, how can ye that speak evil do good? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And your words betray you. And the faith of God's elect betrays them, because they believe it's a part of them. And as I've said before, God's people just don't sit down one day and decide, you know, I believe I'm going to become a believer. I believe I'll just believe in Jesus Christ. It don't work that way, beloved. One day you might wake up and realize that you do believe, that it's a part of you, and that regardless of how strong you might be in that belief, but it'll dawn on you one day, beloved, that you believe there's a God. and you're convinced that there's a God, and that you, as far as you're concerned, you know there's a God, and your concern is what will happen to me when I stand before that God. And so faith is the gift of God, and it is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. When Adam sinned, he hid from God. He was separated from God. And him and Eve became ashamed of themselves. Before that, they were not ashamed. And they sewed some leaves together and made aprons, the scripture says, out of fig leaves. But God, in his tender mercy and love and kindness, knowing that the works of man was not sufficient, provided a covering for them. That same word is the same word that's used in the New Testament as atonement. It means a covering. And so God made coats of skins for Adam and for Eve, he said, for his wife Eve. And he made coats of skins for them. And that taught them that the way to God, the only way to God, was to be covered. They could not be in his presence without a covering. And that their own covering, a covering of their own making, was not sufficient. The fig leaves would not do. It had to be a covering that come from God. It had to be a covering that satisfied his justice. God is merciful, but he's not merciful at the expense of justice. Justice must be satisfied before mercy is displayed. And so Adam and Eve saw an animal slain. They saw blood shed, that skins might be provided to cover them, that they might approach unto God. When you look at the tabernacle worship service and the temple worship service, that's what you see. First thing you see when you enter into that boarded fence there around the tabernacle is a brazen altar. And as you go by the altar, beloved, you see a sacrifice there that's burning on the altar. And the blood from the sacrifice sprinkled around the four corners of the altar. And everything in the tabernacle, all of the furniture, has been sprinkled with blood. And the high priest, before he can officiate, he's got to have blood applied to different parts of him. There's no approaching a just and a holy God without the shedding of blood, because there's no remission of sins. And the wicked do not believe that. They say it's a bloody religion. They reject it. They don't like it. They won't have it. They think they are sufficient within themselves to approach unto God. And that we see that in the law of first beginnings here in Adam, in Abel and in Cain. Adam and Eve taught. And so in that one provision there, this was even before they were put out of the garden, that the innocent must die for the guilty. A sacrifice must be made on their behalf, that this animal, which was a type of Christ himself, he must die in order to provide a covering, an atonement for them. And the gospel was covered in that one act right there. And then when they put them out of the garden with the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And when she got a man and Cain, and it says that the Lord hath given, she's got a man from the Lord. And no doubt she hoped that he would be the seed that he had promised her. But we see that it was as God had told them. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And here between the first two brothers, we see that enmity manifested. And the things that made the difference was that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel believed the report that Adam and Eve received from God Himself, that a sacrifice must be made, that the innocent must die for the guilty, that the seed of the woman that would come would bruise the head of the serpent, and this is how it would be done, that the innocent, the just, must die for the unjust. And the faith of Abel laid hold to that. It laid hold to that claim, to that promise. How much of it he understood, I don't know, but it was enough. It witnessed that he was righteous. And the Lord refers to him as the righteous blood of Abel. And that was shed there that day. And beloved, the ground cried for vengeance for the one that murdered him. But the blood, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things than that of Abel, the Hebrew letter tells us. And the better things it speaks of is that there's mercy and there's grace and there's love and there's salvation, there's atonement, there's justification in the blood of Jesus Christ. And though the justice of God demands death for the guilty, here we see the just dying for the unjust. And so Cain and Abel, we have the lineage there. We have seven generations listed under Cain, and it shows how they went off and built a city. Well, I guess it was maybe more than seven generations, but the seventh man, which is the seven, is that number of completion, that number of perfection. And it often denotes that within that number, you have a complete picture of what's at hand, or complete information to tell what is being told. And so when we trace the lineage of Cain, we get to the seventh man, Lamech, I believe it was. And it said he took unto himself two wives. And these two wives produced several children. And one of them was a keeper of cattle. And one of them was first they had already built a city. And the first son he had, he built a city and named him, Cain named him after his son. And then seven on down the line there, the seventh generation took two wives. Here we have the first instance of polygamy. As scriptures had already told Adam and Eve that a man should leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. These two should become one. But here's the wicked. Here's the lineage that has no regard for the word of God. They have no respect for God, nor for His authority as His creator or His sustainer, or the one who has authority to tell the creature what he should do and how he should behave. And so he took two wives, and they one was the founder of musical instruments, one was began the great commerce in cattle. In the cattle you have meat, butter and milk and skins and the grounds for great commerce starting there, and to sustain the city, and music instruments, and one was an artificer, Jubal-Cain, I believe it was. He was a artificer in iron and in brass, and here's your implements for war and warfare. And this same Lamech, he said he had killed a man to his hurt and to his wounding. And if Cain should be avenged sevenfold for his murder, God, Cain complained to God when he drove him out and said that though that saw him would slay him. And he said he put a mark on Cain, and that no man should slay him, for he said if he did, he would be avenged sevenfold. But Lamech, he said if anybody approached him about his murder, he boasted to his wife, said they would be avenged 70 times sevenfold. And so here was a man that committed murder and was boasting about it and was proud of it and of his to his wives. And then we go back, and Seth was the next son conceived by Eve, And Seth means appointed. And she said that God had appointed her another seed in the place of Abel, whom Cain slew. So we see the faith of Eve in the way she named her children. If you look up the names of those daughters of Zillah and Ada, I believe it was, you'll find out that stands for daintiness and loveliness, and that which is of the world and worldly names, and you don't find anything of God in it. And so we see a world here without faith, a world that denies the authority of God. And that is what the apostles had written, that these filthy dreamers, as I believe Jude referred to them, said they despised dominion and authority and spoke evil of dignitaries. And that's the way the world is. It refuses to be governed by the authority of God. And they want to break his bands asunder and cast them from him, the psalmist said. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at them. He's been laughing at them for 6,000 years, and we can see that, how he has done that. We see it illustrated in Job. And God told the devil, said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Said, "He is a perfect man." And he said, "Yea, doth Job serve thee for naught?" Said, "You've hedged him in, and he's got more than a heart could desire," so to speak. He said, "You take away all that you've blessed him with and hedged him in," and he said, "He'll curse you to his face." And he said, "He's in your hands, but you can't touch his life." And in short order, all of it was taken away from Job. And the runners come telling him one after another of all the disasters in his household. And said Job arose, and he rent his robe off and shaved his head, and he worshiped. Said he sat down and he worshiped. And he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And said Job, did not sin with his lips, did not speak foolishly. And so Job was kept by the power of God through faith, and that faith obtained a good report. And here we see Abel. He was a keeper of sheep, and he brought the firstlings of his flock. That would be a little lamb, wouldn't it? The first ones of the flock. He brought a little lamb, and he offered him the fat thereof. He slew the lamb, and he offered it for an offering unto God. His faith confessed that he was afflicted and poor. He was poor in spirit, and he needed a Savior. He believed God would provide a Savior, and he was willing to trust in God and to accept his method of worshiping God and his method of salvation. And he was not proud nor lifted up, but his faith brought a sacrifice that was acceptable unto God. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and he brought the first fruits of that which he had wrought with his own hands, so to speak. And in doing so, he rejected God's Messiah. He rejected the type, the death of the innocent that would have to die for the guilty, the just for the unjust. He said as much, that I'm just enough, just as I am, and that my works, my fig leaves, my apron, so to speak, is sufficient. And so he came, but it was not accepted. And when it was not accepted, his countenance changed, and he was wroth. And he called his brother out into the field and slew him. And God said, "Where is our brother Abel?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he lied, didn't he? And the Lord said that the devil was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So he betrayed who his daddy was. He betrayed who his God was or who he was following. He lied and he did the lust of his father. And that's what the Lord told these people here. It's remarkable when you find see that Cain was tied in with the land. He was a tiller of the land. And he rejected God's way of salvation. And the Jews, they've been tied in to the land of Jerusalem. And they idolize it and fighting for it. And they rejected God's way of salvation. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And Cain was cast out of the land in the presence of God. And he went into the land of Nod, which means a land of wandering. And when the Jews rejected the seed of the woman when he came, they were cast out of the land. And up until 1948, they'd been wandering from nation to nation. And they, just as Cain built a city, they always congregate in the city. You hardly ever hear of a settlement of Jews that are farmers. They always in a metropolis somewhere. You'll see them congregating in cities and dealing in commerce. And it's remarkable as you trace what happened to Cain. But when you go back to Seth now, you have, when you get to the seventh man in his lineage, we come to Enoch. And he was a man that never died. It said that he walked with God, and God took him, for he was not. And so here in the number seven, in words, we have a perfect picture of God who has declared the end from the beginning in Enoch, in the line of Adam and Abel and Seth and his lineage. When you get to the seventh man, that complete number, he was taken out of the world. He never died. And beloved, the day's coming. Jesus told Mary and Martha when Lazarus had died, and they said, he said, Lazarus shall live again. And they said, yea, Lord, we know that in the resurrection day that he shall be raised. And he said, I am the resurrection day. I am the resurrection. And he said, believest thou this? And he said, though a man be dead, yet shall he live. And if a man liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. So when the Lord comes again, they that are living and believeth in him, they'll be like Enoch. They'll never die. They'll be translated, and they'll be taken out of this world without dying. And Enoch was a picture of that. And so, but until the Lord comes, we must die. But though a man die, yet shall he live again. Because if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he shall raise up your mortal body also. And so we can trust in the word of the Lord, for it is perfect and has always been perfect. And the Lord, being perfection personified, he cannot lie and he cannot err. He's too wise to err. He's too strong to fail. And he will therefore do that which he has said that he will do. He is doing it, and he has done it. And we have a wonderful picture here. How that though there he has sin and death and Satan